Whitman Field is filling up despite the cost of fuel. Rocket Racing lights up the night briefly. And the Icon A5 is every bit as cool as we'd hoped. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. And welcome to EAA AirVenture 2008. I'll tell you what's up in aviation and aerospace for Monday, July 28th in 3, 2, 1. If there's anyone left who isn't sure the Rocket Racing League is going to be fun to watch, they were not here at Whitman Regional Airport at dusk on Saturday night. The Rocket Racing demonstrator was out to do some taxi testing on the field. The crew needed to make sure everything had held together in shipping before Tuesday's public demonstration at Oshkosh, and the FAA wanted the tests to be held off till after 8 p.m. when the field closed down. The X-Core-powered Velocity Canard did 2 3-second tests, and then one longer burn of about 5 seconds, and all I can say is it might be louder than the Harriers. It's going to be very fun to watch, and given the dramatic kerosene-oxygen flame, these guys will be nuts if they don't schedule some of their events at night. I'll try to bring you some better sound from a future Rocket Racing event. All my portable equipment here at Oshkosh is a little overwhelmed by the sound level, but the funny little burp at the end is exactly how it sounds in person. Granger Whitelaw is the president of Rocket Racing League. I asked him more about the test conducted as a post-shipment shakedown.
We tested the rocket racer tonight. We did 2 3-second bursts. After each one, we test everything to make sure it's not leaking, everything's tight, everything's intact from our trip and travel here. And then we do, once it gets cooled down after the second one, so it's nice and cool, the chamber, then we did the 5-second burn to really check everything out and make sure that everything's nice and tight and ready to fly on Tuesday.
All right. Well, we'll be looking forward on Tuesday. Thanks.
Thanks, Paul.
I had the chance to talk with Granger at length on Friday, and you'll still find that AeroCast in the archives at aero-news.net. Even before AirVenture opens today, it's been apparent that high fuel prices are not going to keep this event down. Dick Nepinski is EAA's Director of Communications. Dick, I see lots of planes and lots of campers in Camp Scholar. Some of the local and regional events were down this year due to the fuel prices. Are people giving up on other events to come here instead?
As we do research throughout the event, we'll probably find that out. But we can say we know that advanced camping arrivals were up over last year. Warbird registration was up over the same period last year. We have more exhibitors this year. We have certainly a lot of interest in the advanced online ticketing. So all of those things were coming together, and it looks like it's going to be a very good event. Despite some people who look at fuel prices or the economy or everything else, people might be economizing to make that one special trip.
Well, Dick, we wish you great success with the event, and thanks for talking to us.
Oh, my pleasure, always.
Bob Miller arrived on Sunday afternoon, part of a big contingent that comes every year from EAA Chapter 46 in Western New York. He says he comes as much for the people as he does to see the new toys.
For me, one of the best parts is this grouping that you see right here. We have some 70 or 80 people that flew out, or drove out, or flew out, or however they got here from our local EAA Chapter 46. Jim Cavanaugh comes out and sets up a tenting camping area a full week ahead of the event. So for me, it's a lot of socialization and, frankly, a lot of very good hangar talk.
I'll talk more with Bob in today's Aero News special feature. There were only two major news announcements on Sunday. Flight Design debuted its new MC for Metal Concept. It's a new SLSA, which should be ready to start deliveries this December. Flight Design CEO Matthias Betsch was on hand for the launch, and I asked him why CT is expanding its already successful composite line into metal airplanes.
Because it's just people which like different materials. And every material has his advantages, yeah? And I don't want to argue with the customer. I mean, if you say, I want to have a metal airplane, I don't want to convince you that composite is better, because composite for some purposes is better, and metal for some purposes is better. And that's why we say, to complete the range, we have to have both. We have to have a composite airplane, and we have to have a metal airplane.
Well, some people would say you'd have to have high wing and low wing, too.
No, because you have to earn your competence, and competence is a question out of experience. And I think we have a competence in high wing airplanes, and we want to continue our competence in high wing airplanes, and that's what we do with a metal airplane now.
You can hear our complete chat in the second half of today's Aero News special feature. Icon Aircraft spared no expense rolling out its A5 light sport amphibian. The flying prototype made its first flight less than 3 weeks ago, but the guys from Icon were ready with a flashy multimedia presentation in the EAA Museum. The crowd was made up mostly of grizzled industry insiders who openly questioned the ratio of sizzle to steak at the event. But even they were applauding by the time it was through when they saw the motorized demo of the folding wings, the arrival of the flying prototype in folded-up mode on a trailer behind a Land Rover, and the video of the first flight. The company claims to have 211 advance orders. Now, of course, Icon has to finish testing, set up for production, and deliver the product. We'll see what the industry cynics are saying next year. We've covered the development of this plane, but it still surprised me to see how nicely this aircraft turned out. Watch for upcoming coverage on Aero TV. Coming up next, PS Engineering's new audio panel lets you leave the iPod at home. Diamond lends a hand to orphaned T-Alert owners. And the Delta-Northwest merger faces a lawsuit. You're listening to Aero News.
Fly wise with the compelling new Piper Matrix, Piper's next generation of cabin class sophistication. Climb the air stair and you feel it. More space, more range, more power with unpressurized simplicity. Maximum cruise speed, 213 knots true. Range, 1,000 nautical miles. Useful load, 1,421 pounds. Operating ceiling, 25,000 feet. The Piper Matrix, compellingly priced at $757,000. To learn more about the Matrix, visit us at Oshkosh Booths 79 through 82 and 72 through 75. Log on to Piper.com or call 866-FLY-PIPER.
Aspen Avionics brings the most advanced technology and capability from the commercial and business aviation markets into general aviation cockpits and budgets. Our products increase situational awareness and reduce pilot workload, making it easier and safer to fly in both VFR and IFR. The latest avionics technology shouldn't require spending a lot of money on equipment or installation. At Aspen Avionics, we design products to be affordable, easy to install, and easy to own. Find out more at AspenAvionics.com.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with a sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com. DiamondAir.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 28th. I'm Paul Plack. The days of calling an MP3 jack in your audio panel cutting edge are over. PS Engineering has announced an upgrade to its popular PMA 8000B audio control panel that includes a built-in MP3 player with up to 1 gigabyte of room for audio files. The new model is called the PMA-8000B-MP3. Company founder Mark Schuer explained, quote, "We saw the popularity of the MP3 player in our PMA-9000EX and designed a way to add this functionality into the certified PMA-8000B. Not only is the MP3 electronics carefully integrated, but the user interface is as simple and easy to use, which was our number one consideration when implementing the player," unquote. Loading the player with your music library or your favorite Aerocasts is accomplished using a USB drive by pushing one button. The 8000B MP3 should be available next month and is a slide-in replacement for the PMA-8000, 8000B, and the Garmin GMA-340 audio control panels. It carries an MSRP of $1,849. Diamond Aircraft has announced a new DA-42 customer assistance program to help Twin Star owners with engines from bankrupt T-Alert who want to convert to the upcoming Austro Engines power plant. Diamond notes it's working to certify the Austro Engine AE-300 in the DA-42, including for upgrades, and to offer alternative support and maintenance solutions for its stranded T-Alert owners. The program includes a subsidy of up to 30% of the cost of the optional Austro Engine retrofit. Participants would also get priority position for Austro Engine retrofit kits. Other benefits for owners would include discounts on any replacement parts developed by Diamond for T-Alert engines. Diamond calls the Austro AE-300 an upgrade from the T-Alert Centurion, claiming 26% more horsepower and improved specific fuel consumption. A group of 28 airline passengers has filed a lawsuit to block the acquisition of Northwest Airlines by Delta. Attorney Joseph M. Alioto tells USA Today, quote, "Because the government has abdicated its responsibility, private parties are responsible for bringing these actions," unquote. The group says it fears prices will rise. Airline executives won't want to admit this, but they sure hope they do. The paper says the suit will go to trial November 5th before U.S. District Court Judge Vaughn Walker. Testimony is expected to last 10 days, and a ruling could come before Thanksgiving. Officials are investigating why a Piaggio turboprop made a wrong turn on takeoff from Hawthorne Municipal Airport in Los Angeles last month and strayed too close to two airliners on final approach. The LA Times reports that on July 13th, the chartered Avanti came within 1.7 miles of a SkyWest regional jet at the same altitude and within 1.6 miles of a Northwest 747 flying 400 feet lower. FAA spokesman Mike Fergus said, quote, "There was a severe loss of separation," unquote. Mike Foote, area representative for the National Air Traffic Controllers Association, termed the outcome miraculous. Still ahead, a bird strike on an airliner forces an emergency landing. NTSB investigates explosive decompression on a 747. And a sport pilot visits 48 states in his Sonex. You're listening to Aero News.
Do you feel stimulated? Hey, that's why Congress passed the Economic Stimulus Act of 2008, so loyal Americans like yourself would feel stimulated to help rev up the economy by spending money on important stuff like new Garmin avionics. We're talking potential tax incentives, bonus depreciation up to 50% in first-year cost allowances for qualified business use equipment purchases. See your tax advisor for guidance and your Garmin dealer for one whale of a stimulus package. It's almost like your patriotic duty, huh? Garmin. Follow the leader.
This is Granger Whitelaw, CEO of the Rocket Racing League, a new sports entertainment league for the 21st century. The league features rocket-powered aircraft called Rocket Racers, which include a spectacular 15-foot colored plume and sounds you can feel in your chest. RRL pilots will navigate a three-dimensional racetrack in the sky while managing pit stops and limited fuel supplies. You can view the inaugural flights of the Rocket Racer at EAA AirVenture 2008, Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday at 2:30. We hope to see you there.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4 for Cessna.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, July 28, 2008. I'm Paul Plagg. Numerous media reports from the area say an Air Mauritius Airbus A330 rolling for takeoff from New Delhi struck a bird, and in the hard stop that followed, overheated brakes caused one of the main landing gear wheels to catch fire. The 241 passengers were evacuated after the fire spread to the lower fuselage. Injuries were said to be limited to a few bumps and bruises, and airport officials praised the pilot. The airline has not yet officially commented. Investigators from the National Transportation Safety Board are on their way to the Philippines to find out what caused an apparent explosive decompression incident on a Qantas Airlines 747. The Associated Press reports passengers on Flight 30 from Hong Kong to Melbourne heard a loud bang shortly after takeoff. After a safe emergency landing at Manila, onlookers said the 747's right leading edge wing-to-body fairing was missing, and a 5-foot hole was present in the cargo area fuselage wall behind it. Luggage could be seen jutting from the hole. Terrorism is not suspected. Joining the NTSB investigators will be technical advisors from the FAA, Boeing, and Qantas. It took him three summers, but on July 21st, Phil Simon landed at the Cecil County Airport in Maryland, marking the 48th state in which he's landed in his AeroV-powered tricycle gear Sonex experimental airplane. And he did it as a sport pilot, thought to be the first to complete the journey under the new regulations in a fixed-wing LSA. Simon is a retired airline captain. Quote, "I spent 32 years looking down at the countryside from 35,000 feet. And when I retired, I decided that I wanted to see it from 1,000 feet AGL. It turned out to be a real adventure and a most enjoyable undertaking," unquote. Simon arrived here at Oshkosh a week ago. His plane is on display. He's going to host a couple of forums here at Oshkosh, one of them on his flight and another on how he partnered with a friend to build the Sonex. And finally, a radio interviewer in the UK recently got the chance to chat with former NASA astronaut and Apollo 14 crew member Dr. Edgar Mitchell, and got a more interesting interview than he bargained for. Mitchell made the claim that governments have been covering up visits to Earth by extraterrestrials for 60 years. Quote, I've been in military and intelligence circles who know that beneath the surface of what has been public knowledge, yes, we have been visited. Reading the papers recently, it's been happening quite a bit, unquote. The Adelaide Advertiser reports a NASA spokesman reacted with skepticism. Quote, NASA does not track UFOs. NASA is not involved in any sort of cover-up about alien life on this planet or anywhere in the universe. Dr. Mitchell is a great American, but we do not share his opinions on this issue, unquote. This just in, ANN has conclusive proof that there are no UFOs currently in the area. How do we know? Hey, this is Oshkosh. If it flies, it's here. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. It's Monday, so my guest will be CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves. I'll also spend a few minutes with Flight Design CEO Matthias Betch. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow from Oshkosh. Have a clear and unlimited day.